Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Very familiar passage for us Word of Faith people. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, a lot of times people struggle between the difference of faith and hope and how they work together, and really sometimes which one comes first. Hope has to come first. It starts with hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Sometimes what's happened in the Word of Faith circles, people have started to say, well, I'm going to believe this, but they haven't yet first become established in the promises of God that creates the hope, or the image, if you can put it that way, of what God says is ours. And so faith is the substance of hope. If you want a title for today, that's what I just have it. Faith is the substance of hope. And so if it starts with hope, what is hope? Hope is a confident expectation. That's the easiest way to put it. It's not this wishful thinking attitude that you see in the world. Hope is more than just like, boy, wouldn't it be nice? Boy, I wish that would work out. I sure hope so. That's kind of a lazy, lackadaisical, worldly attitude about hope. Biblical hope, the kind of hope that the Bible creates, the kind of hope that is based upon the promises of God. Everyone say promises of God. That's where hope starts. When you read a promise, when you see anything in the Bible that is promised to us as new creations in Christ, that's creating an image on the inside of us that says, that's something you can have.
Yeah.
That's something that is yours because Jesus bought and paid for it. It's not yours because you worked hard for it. Hope is based upon that confident expectation that what God has promised, God is able to perform. And so sometimes what we do, we get into works without even realizing we're doing it. Boy, if I just pray enough, if I just gave enough, if I just did this enough, we'd think, well, that now God has to heal me. Now God has to bless me. And you get into works. And that's just the opposite of faith. That's New Testament kind of faith. There's, without getting into it, there's Old Testament faith and there's New Testament faith. Old Testament faith was you having confidence in your ability to keep the law or to keep the rules, the regulations, to keep all the sacrifices, to make sure you're doing everything upright. New Testament faith is, listen, I can't do it. It's impossible. Jesus is the only human being that has ever done that. That's why he came in the form of flesh as the second Adam. So when we say now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, we're putting our trust in what Jesus has accomplished. My faith is in him, not me. If I put my faith in myself, I'm going to let myself down. I'm going to come up short. It's just that simple. As much as we make a commitment to do something, let's put it this way. All of you just make a decision that this week you're going to fast. Someone will call you up and invite you to lunch. It just works that way. Because as soon as you think you're going to commit to something, there's an obstacle put in front of you, an opportunity to compromise. So faith comes by hearing. We know that. Just write this down, Romans 10:17, if you want to turn there, fine. But so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, then you'd think, well, I don't need anything else. I just need to hear the Word of God, and then faith comes. The sad thing about Romans 10:17 in that context, when you have to read the whole chapter, is the fact that the word hope isn't in there, and it should. Hope is a given obvious thing there. If faith comes by hearing, what is it that you have first heard? Someone gave you a testimony. Somebody gave you a scripture, something you read in the Bible. The first time we hear that promise of God's word, that seed of hope is planted. That's why it says faith comes by hearing and what? Hearing a second time. I think hope is the first time. That first time you hear, you mean God heals?
Yeah. That's right.
I was brought up in a denomination that God didn't heal. In fact, God's the one making you sick and testing you.
Yeah.
Come on. Many of you were. So when I start reading scriptures and I hear the New Testament version, the real biblical version, gospel version of healing, and I hear Jesus is the healer, that sparked or put a seed of hope on the inside of me. But that did I all of a sudden have super faith? Of course not. I had that, wow, really? That was an awakening. There was a seed planted. Faith comes by hearing. That's the first stage. That first stage of hearing, actually, I believe, if you could insert it there, is creating that expectation, that hope, that really God will do that for me. God has made provision for that. So then we come back and look at it again. Faith comes by hearing. And what? Hearing then by the Word of God. So now I'm not just going to hear the testimony of someone else who got healed. Now I'm going to go to the Word of God and find out for myself, because I've just heard the testimony of your faith or of your experience. Great things about testimonies, but I need that truth for myself. So I go into the Word of God myself. Faith comes by hearing. I just heard what happened with you. Wow, I didn't know God would do that. You got healed? Wow, I didn't know God would heal people. I thought God was making you sick. You know, poor old Job, Paul's thorn in the flesh, all the things that people kind of go back to as a default. And so I get into the Word of God, and I find out in the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The next few times we hear the promises of God, those seeds of hope that were germinated and they start to get watered will now start to produce. And that's why sometimes people don't understand, say, you know, they get prayed for by someone else, or they get prayed for in an evangelist, a healing service. What, that's great, but they need to go home and now feed their faith. Because sadly, a lot of those people within a few months will lose their healing because they got it through someone else's faith, or they got it through the gifts of the Spirit, but they need to hold on to their healing. And it takes faith to do that. Again, you're trusting, in fact, that what God has accomplished. So Hebrews 11:1 in the New Living Translation says this: faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So, it's the evidence of things not seen. So, right now I may not see my healing. Right now I may not see that breakthrough financially. Right now I may not see the peace of God in my situation at work. Right now I may not see the peace of God in my marriage or with my kids or whatever it is that you're looking to God and He has promised something. You go back to it. This is the confidence that I have in Him. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. The Amplified puts it this way: now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact. What is not revealed to the senses. So again, maybe the first time you hear a promise, the first time you hear a testimony, there's that initial sowing of that truth, that seed of hope starts to spring forth, and you're going, I wonder if God will do that for me. I know so-and-so, they're a good person, and they just got their act together, and of course God would heal them. But, you know, maybe I just don't have my act together, and I don't know, maybe God's trying to test me through this. And so what happens is we start to, in a sense, short-circuit our own faith, our own confidence, our own trust in what God has promised. And we start to think, well, maybe I don't qualify. Maybe I haven't been good enough. Faith isn't about being good enough. Faith is about Jesus being good enough. The fact that He was good enough. So my faith has to be in what He has accomplished. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, based upon those promises of God's Word. You put Hebrews 11:1 and Romans 10:17 together, and then the first time you hear about that promise, I believe it creates hope. The second, third, fifth, tenth, 150th time, whatever it is, that you hear that promise and over, that's why we meditate on the Word. That's why we over and over again hear it. Is the fact that now it becomes established in our heart. It becomes such a foundational truth that it begins to spring up and grow and produce fruit. You know, you look at 2 Corinthians 1:20, where it says that all the promises of God in Him. You know, a lot of times I hear people quote that. Well, you know, all the promises of God are yes and amen. They leave out the most important part of that verse. Let me quote it to you again. All the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him are amen. Those little words are crucial to the truth of that verse, because it's in Him that we have that amen. It's in him that we have the yes, it's mine. It's not in me. It's not in how strong I prayed. It's not in how much I did or how much I am working through this situation. It is in him. I think there's something about our culture, because we are so promoting self-reliance, self, you know, everything. Go to the bookstore and everything, and they have a whole section of self-help. Well, self needs some real help, doesn't it? The problem is that if you put all your trust in self, and we're encouraged to do that, trust in yourself, believe in yourself. You go to movies, you know, you go to Hallmark, and oh my gosh, you know, everything's about you, the big winner. never mind. I was going to go someplace and I'd have to repent, so I won't say that. There's children in the room. All right, so back to faith. Faith, this whole chapter of faith, is laying out examples of people who by faith have accomplished something. And so sometimes it almost gets difficult to say, well, look what these guys did. Look what these guys did. Let's look at what they did. Let's look at their example. So if faith is the substance of things hoped for, if this New Testament kind of faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of things not seen, this confident expectation based upon these promises of God, let's find out what these guys did. Hebrews 11, verse 2. For by it, this kind of faith, the elders obtained a good report. Didn't say they had a good report and then had faith. I just want you to see this here. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that these things, the things which are seen, were not made of things which do appear. We could get on that one for a while, but I want to get into these other Bible characters. Verse 4, here's our first specific example. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, this faith, he being dead yet speaketh. So there's this position that Abel had. He had a more excellent sacrifice. Again, if you understand what happened between Cain and Abel, Cain brought the produce of his labor. He brought his crops. What did Abel bring? A sacrifice of a lamb. Not, did he make that lamb? Nope. He just took care of it. He was a steward over it. Cain came up and laid out all of his produce. Look at the labor. Look at my works. And see, what did God say? This sacrifice is better than the other. Abel's was better than Cain's. So you have to sort that out. What was it that was counted for righteousness? Abel was able to bring something that testified of his gifts, trusting in God. Let's look at the next one, Enoch, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For, now here's giving us the understanding, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, we don't necessarily know how he pleased God, other than the fact that you have to go back and read some of these things. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, how did he please him? Pretty simple. He believed that he is. How many of you believe that God is? Yep. Not was, not should be, God is. And this is something that Enoch had that a lot of people don't have, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently, underline the word seek. It doesn't say diligently work for God. Again, taking away the works side and just the seeking side, the pleasing side. I'm trusting in God's side. Now, again, if I will have corresponding action, we know that from the book of James. I'm not trying to take away from that, but my point this morning is this. Faith is the substance of hope. Faith becomes the substance of hope. Without hope, you really can't trust in all the other things. Hope is that as I've always said, it's like a balloon. Faith is the breath or the words or the confession you speak, and you blow up that balloon that gives it substance. Now, when you're standing there with the balloon, if I'd have been smart and I'd have had enough time, I'd have grabbed the balloon and brought it in here and made one of you blow that balloon up for me. And then I could stand here with this balloon, and I've done this before. I'll walk around and I'd hit you with that balloon. Because the air gave it substance. Now, if you had all the air out of that balloon and I'd hit you with it, just wouldn't do anything. But if you blow it up, or especially if you put water in it. Oh, yeah. If I filled that balloon up with water and I came around out and I'm going to hit you real hard with it, do you think there's substance in there? We'll find out real quick. See, faith is the substance, but that balloon is, in a sense, is the promise. It's the container of what we speak and what we believe. And so when I say, I believe that by his stripes I'm healed, you're giving substance to that thing. It's the same balloon. That's why some people walk around with a balloon with no air in it. And other people got so much air in their balloon, they're being lifted up. They're taken off. Why? Because they have put substance into it. Faith has spoken. Faith has done what it says. I am going to trust in God. I'm going to believe that God is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's look at the next one, Noah. Verse 7. Again, by faith, this New Testament kind of faith. This, none of the law was here yet. Can we agree that all these people were before the law? Has nothing to do with keeping the law. Has nothing to do with works under the law. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or reverence, respect, the fear of God, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith. Now, underline that last phrase because that's a key thing for us. There's a righteousness which comes by faith. I'm right with God not because of my works. I'm not right with God because of what I have accomplished. I'm right with God because I have done everything that I know to do to seek God. I hear God. I've responded to his promises. I walk in the fear of the Lord. I seek him. I believe that he is. And when I do all those things that this verse is talking about and laying out these examples, every one of them goes back to a heart issue, not a works issue. Let's look at the next one. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Underline the word obeyed. Because again, each one of these has a different key point to it. They believe that Enoch believed that he is. Enoch believed he's a rewarder. Noah believed because he responded to God's warning. He walked in the fear of the Lord. He prepared that ark, and it became a sign of his righteousness because he responded out of faith. So here's Abraham obeying. It says he went out not knowing whether he went. Now, see, some people would say, well, that's not faith. That's just foolishness. Do we know where we're going? They'd be like, say, honey, let's get in the car and let's take off. Well, where are we going? I don't know, but I know God said to go. Okay, what are we going to do? Well, we just packed up everything. We threw the kids in the back of the car, and we got everything packed up. We got the U-Haul trailer back there, and we're glory to God. God said go. You know, sometimes maybe your wife and your kids are looking at you like, Dad, you've lost it. I'm not sure I want to get in that car with you because we don't know where we're going. And if you don't know where we're going, we could be in trouble here. This could be dangerous. We could get lost. I don't know if I trust you in this. Well, Abraham, I mean, Noah had to do that. I'm sure his wife and sons looked at him like, really, we're building a what? And Abraham says, come on, we're all going to take off here. Abraham, I mean, this is our family. This is all our relatives here. By faith, verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise. Whether you understand or not, right now you and I are sojourning in the land of promise. There's a land of promise that God has given to us between this time for us before we go on to be with the Lord. It says, even as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I love Sarah's example, verse 11. All of these examples, by faith, by faith, by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, by faith. Faith came by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. First time you have faith, in a sense, again, the first time you hear the word, it creates a promise, creates hope. Then, yes, you build on that. So by faith, Sarah, through faith, verse 11, herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Do you see how many times that we start getting into the word promise here? Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now if you go back to Genesis and read that account, when Sarah's sitting in the tent, and Abraham hears the promise that a year from now she's going to conceive and have a child, we know that Sarah laughed. Yeah, I know, but Sarah laughed. They both laughed. Like, this isn't true. How could that be? They laughed. And so, at this point, what is she saying? Well, I don't know if that's going to happen. But yet, here's the testimony about her. She judged him faithful who had promised. So maybe the first time you hear the promise about, oh, God can deliver you, God can make you, you know, get you out of debt, God can heal that, whatever it is, that incurable thing. Well, you know, it's inherited. Everybody in my family deals with these allergies. Everybody in my family has this situation. Everybody in my family, like, you're in a new family, folks. You've got a new blood system, the blood of Jesus. You got a new blood transfusion. So for her to laugh and for her to think that way in the Genesis account and in the book of Hebrews to have it recorded that she judged him faithful who had promised, there's something that takes place here. There's something that from the first time she heard it, I'm sure there was that natural reaction. But then from that point on, there was meditation on it. From that point on, those promises start to be rehearsed. Those promises start to become real. Those promises start to get to the point where they are convincing you that it's going to happen. You know, maybe it doesn't happen immediately. But again, you have to hang in there. This is the fight of faith. This is the consistency of faith. Faith is the substance. Faith becomes the evidence until it shows up. Faith becomes that absolute conviction, that assurance, that persuasion until it happens. Think of the woman with the issue of blood back in Mark chapter 5. We know that she heard about Jesus. We know from earlier parts, and I believe it's in Mark chapter 3, that there was a testimony about the signs and wonders and miracles of Jesus. She heard about that. What did that do for her? Created hope, a confident expectation. Enough so, there was enough testimony about it, she'd heard enough about it, that she said, you know what, if I just get close to him, if I just touch the hem of his garment, if I just get a hold of him, I will be made whole. That motivated her. Motivated her enough where she heard and says, and she confessed. When translated, she said over and over within herself. What will happen? Then she acted. There's that hope, which becomes a reality because she's heard the promises, she's heard the testimonies, but then she needs to take possession of that for herself. She started to confess that. Oh man, if that's true, then that's for me too. I'm going to get that. I can be debt free. I can be healed. I can have the peace of God. I can have a household the way I believe God wants me to have. What's the promise? It's yours. Go after it. Believe it after you've heard it. Confess it. Then she acted on it. Obviously, Sarah and Abraham acted on it, and she conceived. We'll go on to Abraham, children in the room. Hebrews 11:17. We'll jump down there. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Now, people love to jump in this one and say, well, see, God tests you. What was he testing him, though? It was the test of obedience. The only test of our faith is the test of obedience, whether or not we'll trust God. A sickness isn't a test. Cancer isn't a test. The tests and trials that sometimes people will try to attribute to God are of the God of this world, not the Most High God. Abraham was tested, but what was he tested? Because listen how it came out. He offered up Isaac, and he that had received the, what's the word there again? Promises, offered up his only begotten son. So based on those promises, he had a confident expectation. Based upon faith and hope, based upon those promises, he had a confident expectation. It says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So Abraham heard that. People argue that Isaac was anywhere from 10, 13, I've heard all the way up to 33 years old by some people trying to figure out chronological things and then trying to figure it back to Jesus and the types and the shadows of Christ being offered at 33. Does it matter? No. What matters is because Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, trusting that God would raise him from the dead, and he was in covenant with God the Father. God the Father made himself available. He says, God will provide himself a lamb, and he said, don't sacrifice him. I will sacrifice myself. And then guess what happened? He says, if you're willing to do that for me, I'm willing to do that for you. If you're willing to sacrifice your son for me and believe that he'll be raised from the dead, I will sacrifice my son for you and raise him from the dead. So that's what he says here. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises, he had received the promises. He not just heard them, but he had received them. Received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So here's this imagery again, all through, starting with verse 1, all the way through, Abel, Enoch, Noah, every single example here. Abraham, Sarah, every single one of them, we understand that there's something going on about these promises. Every one of them says they received these promises. They heard these promises. They received some word from God. They received some instruction from God. And when they heard that, they took that as a promise that was theirs. That was something that was solid for them to hold on to. Now, keep your place here in Hebrews because we're going to come right back. Turn over to Romans chapter 4 for a second. I want to give you some additional information about Abraham. This is probably some of my favorite portions of the Bible. I've taught out of this many, many times. Romans chapter 4. If you were to study this whole chapter and take it apart bit by bit, verse by verse, the point is the fact that Abraham found justification or righteousness by faith. You get down towards the end of the chapter, and it talks about hope and trusting in God. And verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, or we could say that which was promised, so shall thy seed be. So we know that Abraham received a promise. We know that Abraham heard this declaration. He heard the word of God. Let's put it that way. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Apply Romans 10:17. Apply Romans or Hebrews 11:1. Faith comes by hearing. I'm sure that he and Sarah, after that encounter, sat down and talked about it and just said, so what do you think about this stuff, about you having a child and me still being the father of many nations? I mean, look at us. We belong in a nursing home. I mean, we're a couple of old geezers here, and how is this going to happen? Well, I don't know, but he said so. Maybe they were still chuckling a little bit. I don't know. At some point, they made the decision to trust in that promise. Who against hope made the decision to believe in hope? Faith became the substance of that hope. It became the evidence of that thing not yet seen. At that point, they made a decision. You know what? I can trust what God said. It doesn't sound right. It sounds absolutely crazy. It sounds above and beyond anything I've ever heard. You mean God can cure that cancer? I mean, God can cure that incurable blood disease? God can take away that tumor? God can turn your financial situation? Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm on the brink of bankruptcy. And God says, so what? I can turn that around in a day. Do you trust me? Then you start to be obedient to the things that I have shown you to do. Well, I can't afford to do that. I can't do that. What has he given us? You know, you start with the simple things like honoring the Lord with thy first fruits. Where's the promises of God? There's a promise. When you do this, God says, now I'm in the game with you. You promised, I promised that I will do this. You react to that promise. Now I'm committed to you. Just like Abraham was with his son. He put Isaac on the altar. Now, I love that imagery. I believe as Isaac was big enough, I mean, even if at the very minimum he was 13, at 13 years old, I knew enough that if my father said to me, I'm standing there with a knife and I'm standing there with everything, I'm saying, go ahead, climb up there on that altar. And at 13, I'm going, you're over 100 years old, Dad. I can probably whip you right now. I'm not laying here while you stab me. I think there's more faith in Isaac. Poor Isaac got left out in this deal because he laid there and saw Abraham. But Abraham said, don't worry, God will provide himself a lamb. And he had told those servants, the boy and I will be back. Right from the start, what was his confession of faith? The boy and I will be back. So the boy's thinking, okay. And he says, go ahead, climb up there. You want me just to rearrange those logs, right? No, climb up there. Okay. And so he's climbed up there on those logs. Yeah, in the way Hollywood does it, it's always so stupid. Yeah. You know, they just have never gotten it right yet. And he climbs up there, and Abraham's just raising up that knife, about ready to kill him, sacrifice him. He could have burned his body. But he said, God, I trust you. You said that out of this child, out of this boy, will come this nation. There'll be so many seed, innumerable, that I trust that even if I kill him, sacrifice his body, burn his body, you will raise him up out of the ashes, and he will become a child that will go on and live and not die. Abraham was willing to do that, and he had said that so much to Isaac that Isaac must have believed it. That's a good encouragement to us parents, passing that on to our children. Get your children to believe what you believe by confessing, by making sure they understand that. And so here he is, and just at the last minute, God says, hold it, hold it, hold it. Oh, tickle, tickle, tickle. Huh? Right at the last minute, God says, no, 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 I got something else for you to sacrifice here. I just needed to know if you'd do it or not. I just needed to know if you believed me. I just need to know if you would trust me. But he never had to go through, because God will not tempt you with evil.
That's right.
So, oh man, that was evil. Now, had he killed him, that would have been evil. Had he made him die without the promise of resurrection, that would have been evil.
Yeah.
Other religions sacrifice their children still to today.
Nope.
But with no promise. That's the difference. We have a promise of hope. Of expectation. Faith is the substance of that hope. Abraham acted in faith. That's where we come in. Now look at Romans again. Who against hope believed in hope. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith. Not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. How was he strong in faith? By giving glory to God. Now, I know I've joked about this in the past, but I think it's true. It says he staggered not at the promises of God, but he did stagger into the tent with Hagar, unfortunately, later. Got into trouble. Verse 21, best part of it. And being what? Fully persuaded. Everyone say fully persuaded. not just kind of persuaded, not just like, well, it would be nice to believe this, and being fully persuaded, what? That what he, now that should be capitalized, the word he there, speaking of God, what he had promised, he, God, was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed or accounted to him, Abraham, for righteousness. See, there's too many pronouns in there that you can get mixed up. That's why it's important to capitalize the ones that refer to God. Being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able to perform, therefore it was imputed to him, Abraham, for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, or for Abraham's sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. There's the message of salvation right there. He's laying out in the book of Romans, until it gets up to chapter 10, all of the reasons why we should put our trust in God. The justification is by faith, not by works. Justification is purely by faith, not by works. So he says, he was not weak in faith. He staggered not at the promises of God. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. I don't know about you, but that takes a big load off my shoulders. I mean, I'm not trying to perform something to impress God. I'm not trying to perform a bunch of do's and don'ts that came along later in the law to try to prove to God how much faith I have. I don't give to prove God how generous I am. I give because I love him and obey him. He says, if you love me, you'll obey me. So that's pretty simple. The promises of God are yes and amen, but both, as we said before, it says in him. Without them being in him, they're usually in our own strength. We'll get caught up because that's human nature. Human nature is to trust in yourself. Human nature is to let ego step in and show you how righteous I am, how good I am, how, you know, again, the classic religious mentality is, well, if my good outweighs my bad, God will let me get into heaven. It's not about a good or bad. As we said, we were just talking with Joshua, the guy over from India. We had met with him this week. He's ministering up at Word Fellowship this morning. And spending about 3 hours with him and just hearing all the things that he had to say about that culture. And it's just amazing to me, millions and millions of people that worship all these false gods with the idea. We talked about a lot here Wednesday night during prayer. The concept of being able to somehow or another think, well, life is cheap because if it doesn't matter, I'll just die and come back in the next life. They believe in reincarnation. And so they worship all these gods. And today I'm going to worship the god of the Kleenex box. They have over 300 million gods. And that day they worship this god. And tomorrow, whatever they were worshiping this god for and believing this god for and gave a sacrifice to this god, if it didn't come through, they throw this god away and find a new one. They literally throw it in the river. That's what he talked about. So they spend all this money, they get these little gods, and they do all this stuff, and then if it doesn't happen, what do? He says, they throw it away. They find another one. No wonder they're so stinking poor. They're buying gods all. You know, I know what kind of business to be in. I'm selling little gods all over the place, little idols, and, you know, that'd be a racket, you know. We know that from the book of, in the book of Acts that happened. They all got upset because, well, you can't preach this one God only stuff, because if you do that, we're going to be out of business. They got the whole town of Ephesus riled up over it, didn't they? Boy, some people need to go to India and do that. And that's what he does. He goes into these towns, little towns, 300, 400, 500 people, and he preaches Jesus only. Boy, they've been beat up. They've been persecuted. But guess what? People are getting saved. I mean, talk about signs and wonders and miracles and people being delivered from demonic possession. Oh, because you trust in the God who is more than enough. Because you trust in the God who has promised, you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. See, we don't see that much of that stuff in this country yet, because the more people from other countries come here and bring those cultures here, just be prepared. I think I've been in the grocery store and seen some of those people. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Let's wrap this up. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them. They saw the promises. They understood the promises. They received them. Having seen them, what? Afar off. And were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. We're at that place where it says they saw and they received those promises. They were persuaded. Listen to what he says. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. But this is the most important part of action when it comes to faith. They confessed them. Oh, you're onto that confession stuff. Absolutely. How does salvation come? You believe it in your heart and you do what? You think it in your mind. Oh, isn't that what it says? No. Words are carriers of that truth. Words, the breath of life. God spoke into us the breath of God, the life of God. And when we speak that out, we give it life. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he came for my sins, that he justified me through his sacrifice on the cross. I believe that he died and went to hell in my place. I believe that God raised him from the dead. I believe that he's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. There's a song that we were doing up at Word Fellowship last week, and I got it, and I said, I want our music team to learn it. It's probably a song you guys all know. I've only heard it a couple times, but, oh, I like that song. We're going to get this song. I got to believe this. Get this song. It's called The Creed. And it basically is just saying, I believe this, I believe this, I believe this. But it's just a simple song, very simple song. But it's one of those songs that when you're singing it, it does something that just blows up my balloon on the inside. That's the only way I can explain it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is.